the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get to it. Welcome to the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. Happy Friday. It's Friday, October 11th. We're a day away from the home opener here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, and we got a lot to get to this hour on the program. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson of Post Media along with you here at the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Happy Friday, Wes.
Happy Friday to you, my friend.
We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. The Flames have made one piece of news on this Friday as Kevin Rooney, who was injured in Wednesday's season opener in Vancouver, has been placed on IR. He won't be eligible to return until next Wednesday, which means he'll be out of the lineup for the next three games, and as a result, Justin Kirkland has been recalled from the AHL Wranglers, as we talked a little bit about yesterday. You can understand the reasoning on Kirkland. Looks like Justin Kirkland might make his NHL debut in Saturday's home opener against Philadelphia.
His Flames debut.
Sorry, his Calgary Flames debut. Not his NHL debut.
Nine games of NHL experience to date, but this would be his first
Calgary Flames debut. That's right, yes. So looks like that is something that is trending in a good direction for Justin as he signed as an unrestricted free agent this summer. So, with that in mind, let's get to our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Friday. Kicking off the hour by saying hello to Derek Wills as well, the voice of the Calgary Flames. The Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. Gentlemen, we will touch a little bit more on Justin Kirkland and that decision and the way things might look for Saturday's home opener against Philadelphia. But before we do that, you know, still buzzing in a lot of ways from Wednesday's win in Vancouver, just in a lot of ways almost unprecedented season opener for the Flames. Wilsey, I know you're in the same boat as Wes, and I can't remember a season opener quite like that one. It had all kinds of swings and ups and downs, and I mean, there is really not much that Wednesday's overtime win was missing. But not all of it was good, and not all of it were things that the Flames would want to replicate going forward. So, you know, largely positive. The result is exactly what you want. But, guys, what aspects of that win in Vancouver to open the season, what are some of the things they want to repeat this weekend or repeat going forward?
Yeah, not all was good, but I would say way more good than bad, certainly in the final 40-plus minutes. And even in the first period, I know the Flames were down 4-1 through 20 minutes on Wednesday night, but there were a lot of things that I liked. I liked their start. I thought it was a great game prior to that JT Miller hit on Kevin Rooney. And then that hit not only sucked the wind out of the Flames' sails, but it completely got them off their game. And their main mission was try to get back at Miller as opposed to try to win the hockey game. So the fact that his teammates rallied around him the way they did, the fact that the Flames, after a tough first period, certainly after that hit, were able to regroup in the dressing room following the first period and leading into the second period. And then I thought the Canucks just stopped playing. They thought they had a safe 4-1 lead, and they took their foot off the gas, and the Flames eventually made them pay. So the Flames got back to their game in the second period and slowly built it. And then I thought that goal they scored before the end of 40 minutes was absolutely huge to give them some momentum going into the dressing room in the second intermission. And then they came out and completely dominated the third period. And just when it looked like they were going to win the hockey game, you know, JT Miller, wearing his black hat, scores the game-tying goal with his team's goaltender on the bench and an extra attacker on the ice. And now then, I'm sure a lot of people were thinking what I was thinking. Well, you know, there goes that. Now the Canucks are going to flip the switch, and they've got momentum late in this hockey game. Maybe they win it in the third. Maybe they win it in overtime. But, you know, the Flames, to their credit again, just kind of regrouped after that. And then I thought took the game over and completely controlled 3-on-3. So a lot to like. I loved how they were a team in the sense that they stuck up for Kevin Rooney, and I felt like almost half the team, maybe more than that, tried to fight JT Miller to get back at him before he eventually dropped the gloves with Anthony Mantha. And how about his Flames debut? A Gordie Howe hat trick? Are you kidding me? So a lot to like in that game, and I think a lot that you can take into the weekend as you try to get to 2-0 and maybe 3-0.
Yeah, there's a few ingredients for me that are going to be really crucial for this team moving forward that we saw pieces of for sure in the stronger portions of their game, and certainly that being the last 40 minutes there in Vancouver. Wilsey already touched on what I had kind of knotted down as the pack mentality, and that's not just in sticking up for Kevin Rooney the way they did, but I think you saw a lot of stick together and stick with itness from the Calgary Flames against the Canucks on Wednesday. And for a team that's going to find themselves in some tough spots in hockey games, I think that, and even that collective composure that they showed for all but 10 minutes, I think that can be a really important ingredient moving forward. I think that's something we saw that they need to continue. One that I know they're going to need to continue to have any sort of success is the scoring by committee. I think it was 11 different guys with points.
Yeah.
And then six different goal scorers. And if you can get that sort of contribution from throughout your lineup, if you can get, you know, multiple lines and some of your defensemen on the scoreboard on a more often than not basis, it's going to help. Because especially with the injury to Yegor Sharangovich, I just don't think we're gonna see anyone threaten much more than 30. And don't get me wrong, 30 is a nice goal total, but this isn't a team that's going to have one guy who just fills the net. And so that's another one. And I thought, well, some of it had to do with the Canucks tapering off. I thought you could really see the Flames' effort to play a faster-paced game. I thought in that second period, especially when they started to swarm, you could see their effort to push the pace. And this, you know, if you lined up every guy in the NHL for a foot race, you know, the Calgary Flames are not what you would consider a team that has a ton of burners. I know it's something they have tried to address and have started to make some headway in that regard. But, you know, a team that doesn't have a ton of speed demons, if they can up their pace a little bit, it goes a long way. I know that's something they're working on, and I thought we saw parts of that in Vancouver.
The thing that I think that there's two things that really jump out to me. Wes, you know, Wilsey, Wes talks about scoring by committee, and that's kind of part of what has been running through my mind. Like the work ethic, I don't think anybody's surprised that the Flames kept a high work rate on Wednesday night, because that was their calling card for pretty much all 82 last year. So year two under Ryan Huska and a veteran group that is very much bought into what this coach wants, to see them play with a high work rate on Wednesday night and keep with it and stick with it, that really wasn't surprising. It's a good thing that it wasn't surprising, but, you know, it's part of their identity and I think is going to continue to be. But what I thought was really encouraging for a team that, even compared to a year ago when they started the regular season, the high-end talent is a little bit down, and they need to rely even more on being a team that rolls lines and uses four lines. And I thought that even after the Kevin Rooney injury and they were down to 11 forwards, we saw that. We saw a steady dose of all those lines. And, you know, maybe it took a little bit longer for the Pospisil line with Huberdeau and Mantha to really click 5-on-5, but by the third period, well, that line scored two huge goals, and I thought the Kadri line was the one that set the tone early on, and the Backlund line was just consistent, and that group gave you like 85% expected goals or whatever it was on Wednesday. So you just it's that whole idea of coming at you in waves and having each line shift after shift do their job and not having a big drop off, because they don't have the top heaviness that an Edmonton or a Colorado has. They don't have the ability to send one line out and all of a sudden that line can just take over a hockey game. That's not usually what's going to happen. So that's one. And the only other thing I'd add, guys, is I like the I like the attitude and the swagger that they played with. I really do. Like, I think back to when Anthony Mantha scores the shorthanded goal. Like, that's a fired-up big man who just goes 3-0. He scores a 3-1 goal. Hell, the Canucks scored like a minute and a half later to make it 4-1. But just to see Mantha as fired up as he was to get the Flames on the board. When Rasmus Anderson scored the 4-2 goal, and he does the little the holster with the stick and stares down the Canuck fan in the crowd. I still don't know what that Canuck fan did to Rasmus. But like, give me more of that, and give me more of that attitude, and to see them kind of just they played with a little bit of swagger, and they played with a little bit of confidence, and they that attitude, Wilsey, I think it spurns right from one thing you've been talking about from the get-go in training camp, how they feel like, hey, if you're gonna write us off, if you're gonna not have us high in your power rankings, or if you're gonna choose us to miss the playoffs by 30 points or whatever, that's fine, have at it, but that's not how we feel in here. And I think you even saw a little bit of that attitude in the game on Wednesday, and I like that, and that's something that should absolutely continue as the year goes on here.
Yeah, I definitely saw that, and it was more than just it's us against the Canucks, and at times I would say it's us against the officials. It was more of an us against the world type of attitude, and I like that attitude from the Flames. And now, I had a great chat with the captain, Michael Backlund, prior to Wednesday's season opener. And you know, he said for him, there are some similarities between this 2024-2025 team and the 2014-2015 Findaway Flames team. Nobody gave that team a chance to do anything. And I know they won in some unusual ways, kind of like they did on Wednesday. But it built belief. It built confidence. They banked a lot of points early in the season, which only added to those two intangibles. And then ultimately they got into the playoffs in the second to the last game of the regular season and won a round, ironically, against the Canucks. So it's one game. There's at least 81 to go. It was a really good start for the Flames. I liked a lot of what I saw in Vancouver on Wednesday night. And now let's see if they can build on it. You'd love to win your home opener against the Flyers on Saturday, and then you go into Edmonton, and I know it's the second half of a back-to-back, but the same applies to the Oilers. So we'll see how it all plays out, but good start for the guys, and certainly an exciting hockey game.
Guys, I'll just add really quick something that I had. I had a conversation with Jake Bean the other day, and something that he made note of that I thought was really interesting is he said there can be value for a team of getting that sort of game under your belt early, and he characterized it as a slap in the face of adversity early on, and he said what he liked best about the, I guess, pushback and the reaction to that awful first period is that he didn't feel like they were trying to do something heroic. Like he said, I think we learned that if we just stick to our game, we can do good things. And that was a really interesting point to me moving forward. Like, Derek, you talk about that group in 14-15, and yeah, they found some absolutely wacky ways to win hockey games, and yet inside those locker room walls, they don't necessarily feel like they did anything except just stick to what they planned to do for 60 minutes, except they probably only did it for 40 the other night. And I do think there's some value in that for this group moving forward.
Yep. He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk and underway on your Friday Daily Flames Roundtable, getting set for the home opener Saturday against the Philadelphia Flyers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. As I mentioned off the top of the hour, Flames have recalled Justin Kirkland from the American Hockey League. Justin Kirkland was signed in free agency back with the organization and looks like he's going to make his Calgary Flames debut on Saturday on a line between Adam Klapka and Ryan Lomberg. At least that's kind of the way it looked like at practice on Friday morning. That's because Kevin Rooney's on IR. Rooney was hurt, sustained what we think is an upper body injury in Wednesday's season opener. The reason, as we all know, Wilsey, that's why everything got so emotional on Wednesday night. What do we think of Justin Kirkland being the guy to get the call and likely make his Flames debut on Saturday?
I like it because what it allows the Flames to do is leave their top nine intact. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that want to see Matt Coronato play in the home opener on Saturday night. And, hey, I'd like to see him play too. But
maybe he will.
You insert him. Yeah, maybe he will. But if you insert him, you've got to break up one of your top three lines because you need another centerman. So you call up Justin Kirkland, a guy clearly the organization likes. And I remember when he spent three seasons with the team, what was it, from 2019 to 2022, you know, they spoke very highly about him at the time. Heard a lot of good things from Brad Pascal about Justin Kirkland. And then he leaves, split some time between the AHL and the NHL. And when he became available, the Flames were happy to bring him back. And I thought he had a strong training camp in preseason. And I actually found it really interesting what Ryan Huska had to say about him, because he has experience having coached him at the junior level. And you know, he talked about the evolution of Justin Kirkland and how he was, you know, a kind of a big, tall guy, and I'm paraphrasing here, a big, tall guy who played soft when he was in junior. And when he turned pro, drafted by the Predators, played for their AHL affiliate, the Admirals, you know, they were able to convince him to change his game and to use his size to his advantage and become a harder guy to play against. And I think that has allowed him to get into nine career NHL games. We assume he'll play in his 10th on Saturday night against the Flyers. And I think he can slide him into Kevin Rooney's spot in the middle of that fourth line, and you can still have the same identity with Ryan Lomberg on his left and presumably Adam Klafka on his right. So I think it allows you to leave your top nine together, which I like. I'd like to see more of those nine guys after the first game of the season, and you know, the Flames scoring six goals in an overtime win. And I think it also allows you to have a fourth line with the same sort of identity that you had when Kevin Rooney was healthy in the preseason and in the first game of the regular season. So I like it. And Justin Kirkland's a guy who put in the work during the offseason. Had, again, a strong training camp in preseason. And it's good to see a guy get rewarded for that. It's just a shame it has to be because of an injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Justin Kirkland's a logical fit for a couple of reasons. I'll just piggyback on what Willsey said about the identity of that fourth line. I know there was a lot of excitement around the Saddle Dome and in the coach's office in particular about, you know, the sort of hockey that fourth line of Lomberg, Kevin Rooney, and Adam Klapka could play. I know based on what they'd seen in the preseason, they thought that could be sort of an impactful tone-setting trio for them. They really liked that was sort of what they had in mind for what the recipe for a fourth line would look like. And so one of the reasons that I like the Justin Kirkland recall is I see him as a sort of a Kevin Rooney knockoff in a lot of ways. He, you know, he's a similarly big body. He, you know, he's not going to run anyone, I don't think, through the boards, but he can play a heavier brand of hockey. He can do the same thing Kevin Rooney can in terms of, you know, using his strength to lean on people. He's good on faceoffs. It's what I heard over and over and over about the Kirkland signing was one of the things that appealed to the most is he was one of the top face-off men, in the American Hockey League last season. That was an area that they wanted to strengthen. And so the first reason I think Kirkland's a nice fit is I do think he's a very similar player to Kevin Rooney. And so you're sort of picking up where you left off in terms of seeing what that fourth line can do to build an identity. And the other reason I like it, guys, is I think Sam Morton's going to play 20 or 21 or 22 minutes tonight for the Calgary Wranglers. And that's just a number I'm pulling out of the air. But I think Sam Morton, especially with Cole Schmidt lost on the waiver wire, is the Calgary Flames top center prospect. I know that's what he is. And I think he's knocking on the door. I think at 25, he's a guy who's close. He's certainly closer to being a prospect or what you'd consider a prospect than 28-year-old Justin Kirkland. But I think he's exactly where he should be tonight, and that's, you know, a go-to guy for the Wranglers. I think although he absolutely would have been in consideration for this call, I think getting him some heavy minutes in the AHL in really critical roles, I think that's going to help. And that might mean if you need a center in 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, he's a no-brainer.
The with First of all, I think Schwint would have been the guy had Schwint not been lost on waivers.
For sure,
That happened, and he's now a member of the Golden Knights organization. I also think Kirkland was a guy that they looked at and said he would be a perfect recall in certain situations. It's a big reason why Brad Pascal and Craig Conroy wanted to bring this guy back into the organization, because they felt like he was a guy that could very, very easily just jump into NHL action, and at the age of 28, you know, be a perfect fit, especially in the role that he's likely going to play on Saturday. And then the last thing is, I know there's a lot of people, I see it on our text line, and I see it on Twitter. Like, people, why didn't they do Morton? Why not Morton? Well, because Sam Morton has barely played pro hockey and is still getting his feet wet. And as Wes has said a couple of times this week, Derek, if you know, they sent Sam Morton back to the American League with a checklist of things they really wanted him to work on so he could get to the NHL level or be knocking on the door for the NHL a little quicker. Well, he hasn't played a game with the Wranglers yet. They don't play until later on Friday. Like, let him get some Wranglers games under his belt before you're throwing him into a situation like this. So I think it was for where the organization stands at center ice, for what Kirkland's done in his pro career so far, for what they're looking for. Yeah, I thought it was the easy choice to bring him in, and I'm curious to see him get an opportunity. I'll say this much, he was all smiles and he was buzzing Friday night in the locker room, so that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, he was, and you know, it's funny, I think about the start of this conversation about Justin Kirkland, and he sounded and looked like a guy who was about to make his NHL debut, not a guy who was about to make his Calgary Flames debut and play in his 10th career game in the league. He sounded like a guy who was as excited as anybody we've seen set to make their debut in this league, the best league in the world. So that was really cool to see. So he's going to have a ton of juice tomorrow night, and I think the entire team will. The guys all circle the home opener on their calendar. I know there's going to be a little heaviness before the game as Flames pay tribute to Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau, but after that, I think the guys are going to be chopping at the bit with an opportunity to improve to 2-0 in the season. And Justin Kirkland gets an opportunity to maybe prove that he has grown as a player to the point where, you know, he deserves to spend more time in the NHL than in the AHL. And, you know, he gets a chance to do that for the first time as a Flame on Saturday night. So it's a pretty cool story.
Looking forward to Saturday and the home opener. We will see you Saturday morning, Willsy. Thank you, as always. Have a great rest of your Friday, hey?
Okay, guys. Have a good night.
He is Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That's your Daily Flames Roundtable. The other thing that I do think that you could get Coronato into this game as well. If you wanted to do that, you could just swap him with Klapka if that's the way you wanted to go. So that's something that I'll be watching for, what I'm guessing is an optional morning skate on Saturday. But we'll be watching to see who's first or who's last off the ice on Saturday. Do they find a way to work Coronato in on a line with Kirkland and Lomberg? Didn't sound like it, though, Friday morning, because Kirkland basically said, playing on a line with Klapka and Lomberg. So that's kind of what the anticipation is, but we'll see what happens on Saturday morning in that regard.
Yeah, and I said this on the show yesterday, it had the feel to me of one of those games where the coach doesn't want to change too much, you know, where it
change takes, only the thing that you have to change.
Yeah, it just takes such a group effort to get back in that game Wednesday in Vancouver that, you know, coaches more often than not look at their group the next day and say, hey, you guys have earned an opportunity, same lineup, to go do it again. I know people want to see Coronato. I'm curious if we see Dustin Wolf, and maybe the goaltending equation's a little different because it is a back-to-back with a Sunday game against the Oilers. Like, you're going to need both goalies, so you don't maybe treat it quite the same, but it'll be curious. I don't know what sort of answers we'll get, as you said, off a presumably optional morning skate tomorrow, but it will be fascinating to see what lineup we're watching in the player introductions tomorrow.
That's our Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, just minutes from the airport.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, it's Pat and Wes along with you from the Scotiabank Saddledome on this Friday. and Friday is the day before the 2024 home opener. The home opener Saturday at the Scotiabank Saddledome, Flames and Flyers. The 2024 home opener presented by Original 60, and it all gets started at 4:30 for the first time ever. They're doing red carpet arrivals with all the Flames players, so that starts at 4:30, leads into the doors being open at 6 o'clock for Hockey Happy Hour. You've got extended Hockey Happy Hour for 90 minutes with discounted food and beverage, and then the pregame show. Be in your seats early. The pregame show, the revamped and biggest yet pregame show at 8 o'clock with the brand new Sportsnet scoreboard, some crazy light shows, and some other things that the events crew here at the Dome has planned. And because we've got the home opener around the corner, because we've got a brand new Sportsnet scoreboard hanging from the rafters, we thought it'd be a good day. Wes and I wanted to do this. This is a couple weeks ago we came up with this idea.
Yeah, we've been throwing this one around for a while.
Thought it'd be a good time to bring on the director of game operations and strategy for the Flames and Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, Steve Edgar, who we see every day here around the Dome.
And no pressure now that Pat told everyone you've had a while to kind of think of the answers here.
No pressure.
Yeah. Pressure's on.
First of all, how are we doing?
Awesome. All of us around here are just so excited for tomorrow. After Wednesday, how excited the team is and everyone internally. We just can't wait to get started and have the Sea of Red back in the Scotiabank Saddledome for tomorrow night's home opener presented by Original 16, as you said.
Good buzz, good little buzz around the team, and you guys are hyping up this home opener. So, okay, let's start. Let's go chronological order. So everything starts at 4:30. If you're a Flames fan, 4:30 is when those red carpet arrivals start. I guess just walk us through it and what everybody can expect.
You bet. So from 4:30 to 6 out on the West Plaza on Stampede Trail, we do have our red carpet arrivals. So every member of your Calgary Flames will drive up there and get out of their car and walk through the red carpet. So fans are welcome to come get a spot along the fencing and see every one of your favorite Calgary Flames players. Harvey the Hound will be in attendance. We'll have music out there. Grant Buchanan, our host, will be out there to kind of announce the arrivals and get everyone excited. Following that, as you mentioned, doors open at 6 with an extended hockey happy hour. So get up to the West Concourse. Our DJ Joanna Magic will be there. She's awesome, always brings the energy. Getting the crowd going on the concourse with extended specials. And you don't want to miss the pregame show. Austin Shaw, our director of game pres, and Riley Jans, our manager, have been hard at work creating a beautiful, amazing pregame show in the bowl. Get started around 8, so get in your seat, and it all starts with wristbands. If you were at last year's game, you would have seen them there. We're doing it again this year, rolling it back. Wristband on every seat for everyone in attendance, which is a huge part of every moment in the game. But obviously, our pregame show with the lights down, it'll be extra special.
So these are the light up wristbands that are synchronized to the light show and everything like that.
You betcha. They're synchronized to video, music, light shows, specific moments in the game like goals, get louds, those types of things.
Yeah. So, okay.
And it all gets kicked off along with the wristbands with a special appearance by the NHL's best mascot, Harvey the Hound. Keep your eyes to the skies for that one.
Okay.
And following that is just an amazing new video content that, as I mentioned, Austin and his team are ready to deploy. We'll get to that with the scoreboard in a bit. But everyone is going to just love the videos that we're rolling out to get everyone excited. And the pregame show, obviously, we have our player introduction. So every member of your Calgary Flames will skate out of that Zamboni entrance and be welcomed. And it concludes with a special video tribute for Johnny Gaudreau. So a moment for all of us in the Sea of Red to celebrate what he did on the ice surface here at the Scotiabank Saddledome over his 9 seasons, and stand and applaud for all the great memories.
Yeah, that's such a cool way of doing it, and you know, it's going to be somber but also really celebratory, and I love the moment of applause idea. That's a really neat idea. We're all devastated by it, but a way to celebrate all that he did here at the Sea of Red. That's a pretty cool touch.
Yeah, a lot of amazing memories, and I know the Sea of Red will cheer loud. So.
Yeah. In terms of like dress rehearsals, it's all done now. Have you got everything all? Is that all done, or is that tomorrow?
We've done some today, and it's looking great. But yeah, I mean, rehearsals, we use as much time as we can get to make sure all those details are dialed in and ready to go. And once we open our doors, we're ready to entertain.
I know that I know that Wes and I are really have the scoreboard, and people love talking about these things. I know that when Scotia Place got announced this summer, everybody was wondering about the scoreboard. And then when the Sportsnet scoreboard got announced when that got announced, people were like, okay, is that going to move over to the new building? Like, what is the new building scoreboard going to look like? We don't know that part, but we know that for the next 3 years, the Sportsnet scoreboard is going to kind of revamp and revolutionize the way you guys do things here in terms of game presentation. How big of a factor is that in what we're going to see on Saturday night in the pregame show?
I mean, the Sportsnet scoreboard might be the most exciting addition to our game presentation and our fan experience. We're all just over the moon with having the opportunity to program it and bring new elements to our fans. It's the main primary video surface is 3.7 times bigger than the old one. It's about 30 feet wide by 18 feet high. The quality of it is exponentially higher. And Austin's team, they're going to be bringing exciting new content, engaging with our fans. You know, we're going to be utilizing a lot more of the NHL Edge stats, incorporating into our production, and just bringing a new element. If you were at a preseason game, you would have seen the scoring wings at the bottom, which have time on ice and shot speed and skating speed and things like that. Which,
distance traveled.
Exactly, distance traveled. And with the quality of the pixel pitch and the video board now, those types of things can be displayed in a way that maybe we couldn't before, and that really excites us to bring that type of information and game pres to our fans.
Yeah, like you can, it's like reading it like it's on this piece of paper. It's unbelievable.
The text is incredible.
I think there was one preseason game where I spent more time waiting for the skating speeds to pop up because I was so fascinated by who's moving what pace, and you're sort of, you know, going, you're trying to match it with your eyeballs. Like, oh man, I always thought that guy was fast. And obviously lots of people have gone to NHL Edge and checked out those stats, but to see it there in front of you during the game is pretty cool, isn't it?
The one that I love is the distance traveled.
Yeah.
You can see how far these guys are skating during a game, and you know, whether it's face-off numbers or shot speed or time on ice, our fans are so intelligent, and you know, that information as part of their game experience in the Sea of Red is really important to us, and we're excited to bring it to them.
What was it like around here? You know, like you're getting this new toy. I'll call it a toy. I know it's not quite that, but like when you start to dig in on what the capabilities might be, what the potential might be, what were those conversations through the off season like?
Well, a lot of excitement. You know, knowing that we have this, you know, like I said, 3.75 times bigger surface to play with.
3.75 times.
Which is a bit of a mouthful, but try and be as accurate as we can. It's just a game changer for us, quite frankly. And what we're able to produce, you know, we have the best, as far as I'm concerned, broadcast and production team, the editors, the graphic designers in that room. The content they pump out is extraordinary. And the fact now that we've got an updated display for that content to be seen at a higher, bigger level, I think we're just unleashing them on it. And that was a lot of the conversation, Wes, to your point, in the summer was like, okay, we got this beautiful new screen and we got beautiful content, and now everyone can see it almost as it was made to be seen. And that's really where the excitement was building these beautiful videos and having fun in the game presentation, and fans being able to absorb that at a higher level.
Have you retrained yourself to watch the action on the ice, or you still get caught watching the scoreboard?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to look away from the ice because I just love it, especially from the game presentation booth, that angle. And you guys would know
it's
an amazing angle to watch a game. But I will be honest, the first preseason game, I caught myself not looking over the edge and just looking at the screen.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. And we've been used to the old board for so long that, to your point, I think, and our fans will have to do the same. It kind of retrain how they take in our games.
It's so crazy. We're talking to Steve Edgar of CSEC, Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, and Wes made this analogy a few weeks ago. Like, we all used to, as soon as a goal was scored or something big would happen, we'd turn to the monitors to our side. And I'm lucky, I've got one right up the side of my the left side of my head, so I can just turn and watch. I'll either have the channel 44 here, which is the in-house, or I'll have 47, which is the in-house Sportsnet feed, and I'll just have it on and just watch the replay there, because you're like, I can't really see who that was. Now I'm having to retrain myself to watch the scoreboard because it's better than the TV right beside my face. Like, the resolution is better. So you're training yourself to even watch replays on the big screen, which you never did before, which is awesome. Just another piece to the entire puzzle of this new scoreboard.
Yeah, and I 100%. And what I will say, the scoreboard, you know, is a beautiful addition to what is already an amazing program. But I will say we've made some changes to our lighting rig that's in the bowl.
Yes.
If you've seen it, it's a big halo kind of truss structure that surrounds the bowl. It's really going to help us with coverage, and lighting is such a critical bit of what we're doing. We're really excited about that. Obviously, we have the fireflies, which we've reinstalled on this scoreboard. They're a bit higher, but we think it still gives it an awesome effect. And still gives
the fireflies, like the little torches around
the fireflies are the fire fixtures on the corners of the scoreboard.
Okay.
Which previously were at the bottom. They're now up higher. But being able to get those back on, and obviously we have the fireballs above each offensive zone, which is our trademark, is just really exciting that we were able to incorporate it back into the design and keep that as kind of a saddle dome fixture moving forward.
Because here's the one thing that and this is not a criticism in the slightest, but it was pretty pared down during the preseason. There is nothing big after goals. Because, you know, you don't want to roll it out until the games really matter and all that type of stuff. What type of things might we be able to expect on the scoreboard, and sneak preview wise, for, you know, how you'll be able to use that to enhance the game presentation?
Sure, and I don't want to give too much away.
No, nor should you.
Obviously, we talked about the stats. We believe that is a key thing, especially in our market, that can really improve our game fan experience. Other things, you know, whether it's graphical overlays, you know, the cowboy after goals, who traditionally was up in those upper tier screens,
right,
the old board, him popping in and out. Harvey popping in and out and not taking over the whole screen necessarily. They could come in through the bottom, through the side.
Yeah.
Things like that, that really we can almost start to engage with fans, not overplay, but, you know, we can have more fun with them in a way that doesn't affect the hockey and what we're showing in terms of the gameplay. So those are some of the things. And as I mentioned, seeing that video content and the quality of it, the opening videos and the player features, that has always been at a high standard. Being able to see it on that board now, I think, is just going to be a game changer for people.
If you count in the video and you talk about the brand new lighting truss and all of the stuff that you'll be able to roll out there, like, what have we seen percentage-wise? What have you know how we always talk about, like, oh, you use like 10% of your brain power or whatever. Like, how much of the power of this new system have you used so far in the preseason? Very little, I would imagine.
Well, I mean, obviously it's been on and it's a new look and it looks great. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's preseason versus regular season. I think every game, we're always trying to get better, always trying to improve, always trying to layer in new and exciting things as we go. And we've had 4 games with it now at the Flames. Obviously, we've had Wranglers and Hitmen as well.
Yep.
And we're just continuing to learn its capabilities. And we have a plan, obviously, and content to roll out. But we'll learn and we'll grow and add more things as we go and improve every night because we're trying to raise the bar.
Last one on that, and then we'll wrap up on all of the festivities once again on Saturday night. But how did you determine the final height of where? Because you've changed it a couple of times, right? Like, how did you determine where it's going to sit or where it's going to rest in terms of its hanging spot?
Yeah, so obviously height and where its final nesting spot was a critical bit. And we went through each preseason game. We kind of played with it. We had different heights. There's so many stakeholders that we need to consider. Obviously, our fans, our players, our broadcasters, off-ice officials who need to see benches and penalty box. So we essentially took all that information in and made a decision. And we feel like the height it's at is exactly where it should be and doesn't differ a ton from the previous height. But just because it's a different shape, it's a giant kind of 4 equal-sided screens. I think that plays with the eye a little bit. But we've got the height we like and we think is perfect. Our lighting rig is now higher. The upper LED ring is fully visible. The scoring's fully visible on the bottom, which before it was up high. and they're with our banners and different things like that. Yeah. But depending on where you're sitting, it was obstructed. But we think we've done a very good job of making it as most visible to as many people as we can, and working for all the stakeholders who need to make sure they can do their jobs properly. So
it looks great, man. It's awesome.
Yeah,
really does. Yeah.
And I do want to say, as much as I'm on here talking about it, Carlo Petrini, our senior director of broadcast and production, truly was the guy who made it happen. And he put in a lot of work over the summer and the spring to bring that thing to life and make sure we got it installed in time. And he should be applauded for all that work and making his dream, our dream, a reality. Yeah. So I just want to shout out Carlo, because he was truly the guy who made it all happen.
Yeah, one of the best in the business.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Always room for some Carlo Petrini love here. Okay. Let's go back to the home opener. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, everything starts at 4:30. Couple of texts asking about the red carpet again. So, first of all, start us there. Where is the red carpet? Like, where is that taking place starting at 4:30 p.m.?
Yeah, it's on the West Plaza, so on Stampede Trail. If you're familiar with the Banks of the Bow, the horse statues, it's right across the street from there, where the Johnny Gaudreau vigil was held, if that's a better landmark for people. And it starts, basically, the players will park in that Uber taxi loop. They'll walk the red carpet into Dutton's, that's where the action is.
Okay, and that starts at 4:30. Doors at 6 with an extended hockey happy hour. So hang out on the West Concourse, West Plaza, correct?
West Plaza for the red carpet. The West Concourse has an awesome pregame party happening up there.
Okay.
Extended hockey happy hour, DJ Joanna Magic. And I will say for all our DJ fans out there, the small town DJs are going to be playing player warm-up and the player introduction. So we're really excited about that, too.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Congratulations on everything, Steve. And thanks for doing this. This was a cool conversation.
Is there a media red carpet we should know about? Is that a next year thing?
That's the new building, right?
Well, hey, if you guys want to throw that together for tomorrow, I'll leave it to you.
Thanks for doing this.
You're telling me that is not high on your priority list?
Yeah, maybe let's talk about that. We'll get that in the queue and see what
next
we can do.
They just waxed the floors in the media room. That's our red carpet there.
They're stepping up the game. Woo! It's beautiful in there. So just really excited for everyone. The Sea of Red, can't wait to see you all again. And we're just thrilled to have everyone back tomorrow night and get this season kicked off. It's going to be an exciting one.
He is the Director of Game Operations and Strategy for Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation, Steve Edgar. Be in your seats for 8 o'clock on Saturday night, the pregame show for the home opener presented by Original 16. Thanks, Steve. That was awesome, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Steve Edgar of the Flames. And you know what? Let's just keep it rolling, because from Steve, we now say hello to Candace Gowdy, who is the Executive Director of the Flames Foundation, because the Flames Foundation today announced more than $2 million to be distributed to local charities in support of their annual programs and partnerships. And right around this time every year, this commitment is announced. And Candace joins us in the Hot Stove Lounge as well. And Candace, more than $2 million to start the season, which is just an awesome number, and I know one that you're really, really excited about. Just tell us a little bit more about today's announcement.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. We're really excited. I mean, the amount that we distribute at the start of the year to our annual commitments continues to grow as we continue to onboard programs and create programs and support projects in Southern Alberta. So we're really excited that this was over $2 million. And every year in September, October, we send our annual commitments out the door. And that's what we did today, or we're talking about today. And it goes to, you know, about 15 different charities and programs that we support every single year.
This is this is a really exciting time of the year, isn't it? Where you get to find out how much you're putting into the community. It's a pretty special day for you and your crew, hey?
It is. I mean, yeah, we work in sports, which is so wonderful, and on this side of it, we get to raise funds that redistribute into the community, and we start our season here, and you're going to hear us ask almost every day for you to buy a 50-50 ticket, and that our poker tournament's coming up, and you know, the golf tournament just passed, and that's you know, those are such significant fundraisers for us, especially our 50-50 program. So this is work that truly our fans are doing in purchasing those tickets.
Yeah.
And here's what's happened because of it, and we just really want to be communicative and tell people what we're doing with those funds.
The 50-50s that you started, the kind of the online 50-50 was a product of the pandemic, mm-hmm. and yet everybody has just kept on doing them because they've been really successful. How much has that kind of helped and changed everything for you in the foundation?
It's been a game changer, like an absolute game changer. And what we're able to do in the community is so significant because of it. And even before COVID, I know that we were working with AGLC because we had people who were inquiring, do I have to be there to buy a ticket? Is there any way I can buy a ticket and not be in the Saddle Dome? And prior to 2020, the answer was no. And since then, you know, the growth of our jackpots have been so significant. We have more to distribute. So every year we're distributing closer to $5 million.
Wow.
Per year. And a very, you know, very, very big chunk of that is our 50-50 program.
Are you still going to do a 60-40?
We are doing 60-40. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
I know how excited you were about that last year.
Well, they make me so nervous. Obviously, that's risky for us because, you know, we plan to retain 50% of the funds. And so we ran them every Tuesday night last year. And this year we have like 100 Tuesdays. No, we have, I think, 12 or 11. So it's a lot. It's a lot of 60-40s this game, and people really loved them last year. Our jackpots were really high on Tuesday because of the 60-40s. You know, it's a win-win. Obviously, that's not 50-50, but they are coming back every Tuesday except for December 31st. It will be a 60-40.
Okay, very cool. Anything, you know, you talk about the more than $2 million to start the season off in terms of distribution. Anything new this year that the foundation's really excited about?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for asking. Yeah, and the $2 million, that goes to things that we've talked about, Flames Even Strength Program, Rotary Flames House, hockey programs, kids cancer care, our school programs. Over the summer, we've been working with Classroom Champions to build a new school program, mental health-focused Classroom Champions, obviously, born and bred here in Calgary by Steve Messler. And it is social emotional learning for kids or for students grade K through 8, so kindergarten through grade 8. And it's populated with videos from all 5 of our teams. So as a student or a parent or a teacher, an educator, you can go into that system. It's going to launch here, you know, middle of November, beginning of December. But there's there's between 50 and 70 videos from CSEC athletes. So you see members of the Flames, Wranglers, Hitmen, Roughnecks, and Stampeders talking about, you know, determination, a time they failed, a time they were let down, you know, teamwork, perseverance, all of, you know, just the soft learning skills. And we're really excited. You know, we feel like our role as a professional sports team is to be able to deliver those lessons and those messages from our professional athletes to youth, because we are such a proponent of what sports can teach a young person. And that's primarily through engaging in sport, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you get such buy-in from all your athletes.
Yeah.
And like that's always been the thing that sets one of the things, anyway, that sets the Flames Foundation apart is just everybody, every athlete here at CSEC just throws themselves right into things, don't they?
It's true, and we're just so lucky. And that's right from the top, our ownership group. When you look around the city, obviously giving back, it means everything to them. When you look at places like the McKeg Bone and Joint and the Edwards NICU and the Riddell Library, and, you know, and I have to say them all because I can't miss one. But the Marky McPhail Center, and, you know, the Living Cardio and Vascular Institute. But it's part of the fabric of this team, and we truly do want to be and work to be a heartbeat of this community. And now we have a captain, and I mean, our captains have been extraordinary always. And, you know, Michael Backlund is just, I don't know if you could do more community work than Bax does, right? Him and Frida. So, yeah, we're so fortunate.
Yep. Okay, what do we got coming up? There's always the hallmark events. You mentioned the poker tournament. Like, what are we looking forward to event-wise as we get the season going?
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, we've got so many games, right? We've got lots of theme games coming up. We'll have a Christmas campaign again, and it's going to be special. We have our poker tournament coming up on January 21st. So we're doing that at the Deerfoot and in a casino again. We've got a women in sport game, and we've got, you know, Pride Night, and you saw the theme night schedules.
Yep.
So that's really exciting for us. We're playing wheelchair hockey again at the Children's Hospital on November, and pumpkin carving, you know, later next week at the Ronald McDonald House. So we've got Yeah, we've got lots going on, and we're planning poker right now, so that's really exciting. It's a bit earlier this year, and last year that was $500,000 for us, so really big one.
Thanks for stopping by. Really appreciate it, and congratulations, Candace. Another awesome start to the season.
Thanks for having me.
Candace Gowdy with us here in the Hot Stove Lounge after more than $2 million, an announcement of more than $2 million distributed to local Southern Alberta charities from the Flames Foundation. For more information on the Flames Foundation, website's easy, calgaryflamesfoundation.com. One more time, calgaryflamesfoundation.com for more information there. Always a pleasure to chat with Candace Gowdy. Back-to-back after Steve Edgar, two of the absolute gems that you'll see on a daily basis here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. As we start to wrap up this hour on Flames Talk, Wes Gilbertson is on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Cam, Shan, Azam, our producers back downtown, and this has been the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.